Any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from the 7th, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I think that we've talked about this enough. I believe that if we're going to spend public dollars in private schools, then the representatives who were elected to allocate that those local levies should have a say in this, and that's why I offered the amendment. I close.
The senator from the 7th has renewed his motion. A standing vision has been requested. Sergeant of Arms, please summons the members to the chamber. Please stand. All in favor, please stand. Thank you. You may be seated. All those opposed, please stand. You can be seated. With 5 ayes, 25 noes, you have defeated Amendment Number 1 to Sub-Amendment Number 1 to Senate Amendment Number 3. Senator from the 23rd, what purpose do you want to be recognized?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to withdraw my substitute amendment and send a new substitute amendment forward.
Madam Secretary, send the substitute amendment back. Ouch. Has your new substitute been distributed?
Yes, it has been.
And do you move for the waiver of its reading?
I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
And do you move for its adoption?
I move for the adoption of the substitute amendment, Mr. President. The senator from Johnson offered had on desks an amendment to the substitute that I was concerned was actually a substitute and went to the third degree and or would not have been allowed by our rules. And so I've been working with the senator from Johnson to put some additional accountability measures defining off of the previous substitute amendment. In addition to the measures that were included in that amendment are a definition for private non-sectarian school, the residency requirements that were included in another part of the bill that they would also apply to children who wanted to, or families that wanted to have this private school option. And then there's some clarifying language. So if you had a family that resided in the unaccredited district, but the child was too young to have entered into the school, this would provide the children in that entering kindergarten or first grade for the first time, having been enrolled in one or more unaccredited schools, etc. You can see that in the amendment that provides for that child who lived in the district, so they didn't just move in to get this option, but they were there already, but too young to be in the school district. Takes care of that situation. And then the other parts are a valid occupancy permit, complies with all health and safety laws and codes. And then the language that was in my underlying sub, that you've got the school has to be accredited by the North Central Association Commission on Accredited and School Improvement, and they have to administer the statewide assessments in English, language arts, and mathematics. I believe the senator from the 14th is going to have an amendment to the amendment striking on page 2, line 16, section 5, so line 16, 17, and line 21. I'll let the senator from 14 explain why she believes that those do not need to be in the substitute, and those went beyond what the senator from Johnson and I had agreed to. And then he is, I think, has an amendment that he would like to offer for the body to consider. So that's the substitute amendment. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I would renew my motion.
Senator from the 23rd has moved for the adoption of substitute amendment number 2. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you want to be recognized?
Mr. President, I have an amendment. It has not been distributed. It is in the process of being distributed, and I do seek a waiver of the reading, and I will not close until it has been fully distributed.
Please send your amendment forward. Hearing no objection, the waiver of the reading will be waived. Please read the amendment. No, it's been waived. It's being distributed, so Senator, would you want to explain your amendment?
Yes, the underlying...
And please, would you like to move for its adoption?
Yes, and I move for its adoption. And, Mr. President, the underlying amendment, there are two sections that I'm a little bit concerned about. One deals with discrimination and bias, and the other deals with annually administrating a parental satisfaction survey. For both of them, I think that we are covered under not only federal laws but also state laws when it comes to discrimination. And I also think that Section 7, Line 21 is overreaching. We do not have a requirement for traditional public schools to administer a parental satisfaction survey. So my amendment would remove those two sections.
Senator from the 14 has moved for adoption of amendment number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator has renewed her motion for the adoption of amendment number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has passed. We are now on substitute number 2 as amended. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 22nd. State your inquiry.
So the senator from the 14th amendment to the senator from the 23rd amendment was adopted, so we are currently back on the Senate substitute?
Substitute amendment number 2 from the senator from the 23rd.
With the senator from the 14th changes.
Correct.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
It is the upper right-hand point 41S.
Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed. Seeing no objection, I would ask for reading of the waiver.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Do you move for its adoption?
I do move for the adoption.
Proceed with your explanation.
What this does is it puts some requirements on these private non-sectarian schools that they must have been in operation for 3 years prior to accepting transfer students. Throughout the hallways and since this bill was passed out of the Education Committee last Thursday, I've heard a lot of folks say, well, what would prevent a school from popping up? What would prevent someone from just jumping into this that had no experience? What would prevent that? And I think what we need to do is to put as much rigor and expectations for all of our schools, especially if we're going to be spending public dollars on private education. So what this does is says that that they must be in continuous operation for three school years prior to accepting these transfer students. Be glad to answer any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
Senator from Johnson moves for adoption of amendment number 2. Senators desire to be heard on that motion. Senator from the 24th. Senator from St. Charles, do you yield? Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Refresh my memory. The amendment that you put forward that we're on, it suggests that these private schools have to be fully accredited?
Correct.
So this idea of they have to be in existence for 3 years, I don't know how long it would take a private school to become fully accredited, but to the extent that they are fully accredited, I mean, I think it's what's special about 3 years. Why not 6 months? Why not 10 years? I think the idea that they're accredited is a standard that we all understand to be the standard by which we want these children to be educated.
That's why that's a disagreement that the senator from Johnson and I have, but as it's within his right as a senator to offer that amendment for the body to consider. I don't think the school option ever gets off the ground if it takes them 3 years.
Well, whatever it takes, however long it takes to become accredited, I mean, accredited is the standard. That's the standard by which we want the kids to be educated. So I think that's more than appropriate enough bar for a new entity to have to clear. So thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
I would like to inquire of the Senator from Johnson.
Senator from Johnson, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. This is I know this was initially supposed to be in the bill out of committee. It did not make it. There was a conversation that we had while in committee about the number of private non-sectarian schools that we have within the boundaries of the Normandy School District. So I did my due diligence, and I just looked for all non-sectarian private institutions in my district. And lo and behold, I only have two. And they're both in Clayton. And for us to put on the three-year restriction would restrict any private non-sectarian school from entering into the Normandy School District. And so this would go counter to what we are trying to do in giving children an opportunity to get local private options within the boundaries of the Normandy School District.
Senator, I totally respect your opinion on that idea. This is a huge step that, as a state, that we're taking, and we need to make sure that, when we are going to be spending public dollars in private institutions, that these are institutions that have had some track record, that there is something that, we can look at. I mean, all of our public schools have been around since the 1950s in the reorganization that we've had, and so if we're going to be spending dollars and taking away from other public districts, we need to make sure that there is some kind of track record, some kind of performance, as opposed to just someone that opens one up overnight. And so that's what that's done.
I absolutely
agree.
That's
what it's designed for.
I absolutely agree with you, but if we refer back to the underlying amendment, we are putting certain accountability measures in place so that we can ensure that these institutions are accredited. So what I would be concerned about, if there is a private school, and I mentioned to you the one of the schools within University City, that the Freedom School, if they wanted to move into the Normandy School District, I would want them to have that opportunity. If Forsyth School, where I actually attended, if Forsyth School wanted to have a satellite in the Normandy School District, I would want them to do that. If the Wilson School, which I visited on several occasions, if they wanted to have a satellite. So if there is a track record of a private non-sectarian school existing within the area and they wanted to open up within the boundaries of Normandy, under your amendment, that would not be allowed. I would not want to prevent a school like Forsyth or a school like the Wilson School to be prevented from going into the boundaries of Normandy. And your amendment does that.
Well, I just think that if we're going to, I mean, this is a huge departure in our state of Missouri for education. And it's an important step. And I think before we do spend public dollars on private institutions, we need to make sure that there's accountability, that there's track record, mm-hmm. that our money is being spent well. And I do appreciate the senator from St. Charles and adding some more requirements to that. I think that's very important for confidence. I think that all of us want to make sure that these schools are going to perform the way that we hope that they will, and we'll give the education to the students that desperately need it.
And I understand your concern because I was the bookend with you for 10 years as well. And I'm deviating from being the bookend anymore. And I am saying that what we have been doing for the last 20 and 30 years is simply not working. Case in point, Normandy has been provisionally accredited for 20 years. We could talk about Kansas City. We can talk about St. Louis City. So I don't see us as deviating or falling off the cliff when it comes to providing extra options for students. I see us giving our students an opportunity to succeed. So I appreciate the inquiry. I understand where you're coming from. I do believe that the senator from the 23rd Amendment addresses the accountability measures that are needed. Again, we are dealing with children who live in the wrong zip code, and they should have some
right.
options. And so I am going to be a loud no on this amendment respectfully because I understand what your concerns are. And, you know, I don't want to extend to the point where we have this kind of system happening throughout the state. But I do want to have special provisions for districts that are failing, where children need an extra opportunity to succeed. And frankly, we don't know what the right strategy is going to be, because we failed as a state. We have failed Normandy, we have failed Riverview, we have failed St. Louis City, we have failed Kansas City. And so we have to start, you know, looking at other ways we can create a system that works for every single student, regardless of where they live. I don't want us to make a determination it's okay to have this kind of system in this neighborhood where there's a high tax base, but we have another kind of system in another kind of in another area where there is no tax base. And that's who I represent. I represent those children who do not have the same resources as others. And I'm very, very highly sensitive to their needs. I don't want them to become a statistic. I want them to be successful, and we need to start venturing out to figure out ways we can turn around these children's lives so they can have an opportunity to succeed and be fruitful members of the society.
I agree.
Thank you for the inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 7.
Speak in favor of the amendment.
Proceed.
Mr. President, this is a very sensible and responsible amendment to this equation. We are taking steps into uncharted waters here. I don't believe that we should be taking these steps, but if we are going to, then we should put safeguards in place to make sure that the private schools are the high quality and right private schools to have this experiment go forth. And I think that this also would be the only controls that I've seen at all on the proliferation problem that I mentioned earlier of private schools just popping up in hopes of trying to get some of these children. If you have this amendment on to this bill, it is a bit of a safeguard. And if we're going to take this unknown plunge, then I believe that having some safeguards in place is a good public policy measure, and I'd ask the body to support the amendment as well.
Senator from the 25th. 22nd. I did that again. Second.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President, to speak briefly on the amendment. Mr.
Proceed.
President, this is an amendment that was part of the language that was in the Education Committee that was offered by the Senator from the 21st that was overwhelmingly shot down. He's bringing it back up again, which kind of makes me wonder why. And I've pretty much come to the conclusion, I believe, that someone is twisting his arm to offer this amendment.
Senator from the 17th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr.
President.
You've
been spoiling for it all night, haven't you?
Thank you, Senator. No, I just, you got up and spoke in favor of the amendment. I just had some questions about it. So just so I'm following what the policy would be, the school would have to be accredited, and they would have to have been such for 3 years?
In continuous operation for 3 years prior to accepting transfer students, yes.
Okay. And this is good public policy, because obviously other senators are saying, well, look, if they're accredited, and we're trying to help these kids as quickly as possible. Why are we putting this extra hurdle in there?
We don't want fly-by-night pop-ups to start a school just to take these transfer students because there's now dollars attached to
why not
educated students. Well, because there's no proven track record of success or performance or
but
college
accredited.
Placement
I mean,
or graduation rates. Or
but if they're accredited,
attendance
what difference does it make?
Or teacher performance. I mean, I think that if you have at least a track record. In
but if they're accredited,
years.
What difference does it make?
Well, I think it makes a huge difference, and rather that school should be a place to put. Now, again, I preface that entire thing by saying I'm not for putting public dollars in private schools at all. I think this is a sensible measure if you're going to do it to make sure that that private school has been in operation for a while so that you have an understanding of what kind of product.
So then by the same token, shouldn't we be making the unaccredited school district be reaccredited for 3 years before we allow them to have their full accreditation back?
Well, there previously has been talk, and that's why that was one of the reasons used by Commissioner Nicastro on why Kansas City, Missouri is not a provisionally accredited school right now, even though they have accreditation points.
No, but you're not a fan of that, right? I mean, you wish that they were provisionally accredited right now.
I was not a part of setting a time frame for when they could get their accreditation back. And I do believe that they have the points and they have the scores to do it and they have been in operation. That district has been in operation for 50 years.
You would say that the public school then should just be get it back immediately. But if it's a private school and they're accredited and able to educate children...
But, Senator, that public school has been in operation. You're comparing apples to oranges. You're saying that a school that just started is on the same footing as a school that has a 50, you know...
I'm saying a school that just started and is accredited is offering a better education than the school that's been there for 100 years that isn't.
Well, I'd be interested to know what the accreditation rules are. When do you don't become accredited in your first year?
That would be what the Senator from the 23rd, I think, put a definition in there, right? I mean, what the accrediting agencies are?
Well, the North Central... So what we need to do is find out how long the time frame is for North Central Association Commission to accredit a school.
Well, I guess I just don't philosophically understand why, if we're talking about the best way to educate children, we're going to say, you know what, even though that you meet the standards, we're still not going to let anybody come to your school. We're going to make you wait 3 years.
I think the best way to educate children is to fix the public schools, not send them to private schools.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all, but clearly the public schools have a problem in these particular districts, and they haven't been fixed, and we're trying to offer other solutions. So...
Well, some of the schools.
I just don't know why you make the kids in the failing districts wait 3 years for some arbitrary reason because you're not comfortable with the track record.
To make sure that school that just came into existence has the requisite ability to educate the children.
Isn't that what accreditation's for?
Well, again, I don't know how long the accreditation process takes. If it takes 2 years or 3 years to get accredited, I mean, you can't start a school today and be accredited tomorrow. I'm pretty sure that that's the case. I don't know the exact... North Central Association Commission standards, but I'm pretty certain that it doesn't happen overnight.
Well, it just doesn't make any sense to me why we're putting... I guess I just don't philosophically agree with you on that.
I think there should be a track record.
Because, you know, to me it seems like we should be focused on these kids are not getting a quality education
today.
Okay,
so let's put it another way. What do you think should be the standard by which a school started today has proven... that they're capable and ready to accept high-risk socioeconomic challenge students from a district that's unaccredited.
That they meet the accreditation standards that we set forth in the statute.
Well, we set forth that the North Central Association Commission on Accreditation demonstrates similar academic quality credentials. How do you demonstrate similar academic quality credentials if you don't have a time frame by which to examine and measure those credentials? Don't you need a sample of time to prove that those credentials are accurate?
Quite possibly is in there, but it may not be 3 years. I mean, the point.
Well,
that I'm
that's
trying
why
to make
this
is
a normative policy discussion. We're saying it should be 3 years. We're saying that is a good idea to have 3 years of a private school in operation before we start sending public dollars to it to educate public children.
Okay, but it's not a good idea to make the public school be accredited for 3 years before we send.
But the school had a provisional accreditation 2 years before it lost it. So we're talking about a long arc of track record.
You're talking about a track record of failure.
Yes.
So a track record of failure in the public schools is preferential to no track record of an accredited private school.
We have the scores and results that failure has reversed itself. And
but it was still failure, so what is the time frame,
Matt? Well, it's provisional accreditation. They've earned enough points to be
provisionally
accredited.
But your point is that we need a time frame to know that they can handle it, when clearly they weren't handling it before, so what difference is the time frame?
Because it's a brand new school. There's nothing to compare it to. How are you going to assess the quality credentials if you have no sample study?
Again, I'm not assessing that. That would be the accrediting agency that we've put in the statute or that we're
proposing
to put in the statute.
And I'm advocating for the Senator from the 21st Amendment that 3 years is an acceptable amount of time to take a snapshot of their performance to decide whether they are qualified and they have the quality credentials.
3 years is an acceptable amount of time to let kids continue into failing schools and not give them the options.
They're
the
not going to be into failing
out.
Schools. They're not.
They might be.
If that school goes unaccredited, then by the underlying bill, you're going to intra-district transfer to one of the schools that is accredited. And then if that school capacity is reached, then you're going to inter-district transfer to another school district that is accredited.
And
so,
there may be another cheaper option here, as was pointed out by the Senator from the 14th. If you're only sending the local match to the private school, as opposed to sending the entire match to another accredited public school, you're denying them the cheaper option that would be available right now.
Well, that's to suggest that there is a private school that has a match that's cheaper than what the local contribution is, and I would be hard-pressed to find that.
It's not a match. It's the local match. That's all that goes.
But they're not required
unless I'm
to
reading
that.
The statute wrong, it's only the local money that follows.
So they're not required to accept that, though. If Pembroke Hill, which is a non-secretarian private school in my district that would be eligible to accept these transfers, If their tuition, and I'm not sure exactly what it is, $15,000, and the local contribution is $65,000, it's higher, understand, it's $25,000. So Pembroke Hill is $25,000, and the local contribution is $6,500, then that child's parents are going to have to make up the difference between the $6,500 and the $25,000.
And you're saying they shouldn't have the option to do that if
I'm
the school hasn't been there for 3 years.
If other private schools spring up to handle this new opportunity,
that maybe
they should
take
have a track record.
That maybe would take $6,500 or $7,000.
Well, then they should prove that they can do it for 3 years.
Well, how are they going to do it for 3 years if you won't let them get the students?
Because it's private school's a choice. Parents decide that they want to send their kids to private schools for all different reasons. Some religious, some because
talking
they went
there. Talking
about
kids that are by and large living in poverty, whose parents may not be able to add to that.
Right, which is why we shouldn't be diverting public money from them in the first place.
Okay, so let me
ask you
this.
Which is why we should solve the problem where it
exists.
All
right, so let me ask you this. So when you, this kind of goes back to your earlier discussion, which I kind of let slide, but you've got, why do you vote for levy increases?
In my district, we've had three of them in the last 7 years.
We've had a ton myself.
We voted on one to increase the base rate for a starting teacher in our district to
sure.
$35,000. We voted on one to add, which you know has been one of my favorites, renewable energy. To our school districts and new playgrounds. That was one. And then we voted on the last one to stave off the budget shortfalls that we all experienced here in 2011 that our district was going to have to absorb and lay off teachers. So instead
okay.
of laying off those teachers, we made that choice.
But why did you? Why do you vote for them? Why does the voter vote for them?
Because we want strong public schools. That's why.
So you believe that... See, I kind of believe that it's because we want our kids to get a good education.
Public schools educate non-discriminately. They do not selective. There's no selection process. As someone who worked in the high school of a public school in the Kansas City, Missouri High School, we, Kansas City School District, we took every single child that walked
what
the door.
What is the purpose of public schools?
To educate every single child.
Okay, and when they're not doing so...
Opportunity. I mean, there's no guarantee that that child's going to be educated. That's their individual responsibility to do so. But it's the opportunity that the public resources provide.
Okay.
And
so,
that should not be diluted.
So the reason that we have them is to provide education to our children. That's the overarching, that's the philosophy, right?
Provide the overarching opportunity philosophy. For education.
Provide the opportunity for education.
Correct.
And when that opportunity ceases to exist, which is the case in the unaccredited school district, they have not managed whatever well, they've whatever the reason is, they're not providing an opportunity to a quality education.
Which
your
is what
contention
the underlying
is,
bill addresses.
Your contention is that the mechanism for providing education supersedes the philosophy that we have in place to put it there in the first place.
No. I am saying that when we have scarce resources, we don't even, you know, I know this is a local contribution and not the state funds, because right now we're $400 million from fully funding the formula
right.
as it is today.
Right, we're talking about what local people have voted on to educate
right.
children.
Correct.
Okay. So when the school district ceases to meet its responsibilities to educate the children in an accredited fashion, what's wrong with providing opportunities that meet the goal?
In this underlying bill, we then have an intra-district transfer.
I get it.
So if it's 65%, if it's 65% or greater, then that district lapses and it's dissolved. So if 65% of the district schools are not performing at where they're supposed to perform, then DESE's going to come in with whatever plan that they feel. It might be the C-Trust plan. It might be another plan. Who knows what they're going to do. But then DESE has the authority to completely lapse that district and raise the whole thing. Contracts, tenure, levies, money, all of it gone. School board gone. If they're 65% or more of their schools. But until that
gotcha.
Point.
I understand that.
Until that point, then that school district...
The intra-district transfer, but
right.
but you only have so many slots, right? I mean, isn't that what we're talking about? We're trying to providing other options.
Hopefully the pressure will be for the school district to perform better, to find the schools that are working and emulate their successes.
I agree.
But you don't do that by diluting the public dollar. You don't do that by saying, we're going to take this and put it into a private school that, albeit the senator from the 23rd's Amendment does address some of the accountability. I will give him credit for that, but it still doesn't address the fundamental selection process and mission standards that a private school has, which makes it private. Why do you think a private school, it functions differently than a public school? What are the key main ingredients that make a private school perceptually successful? Because we don't know that they're actually successful.
Well, they're market-driven, so they have to succeed in order to attract students.
Well, they have high parental
involvement. If they don't have high performance or a good track record, people are not going to pay to send their kids there. So that's the main difference between a private school
and a public school. The main difference is they have high parental involvement. They have admission standards, so as soon as the student discipline issues, they kick them out. They don't test the MAP test, so it's really hard to gauge how well they're doing. And ultimately, there's traditional aspects to private schools, such as college placement, that make them attractive.
And you don't feel that certain students should have the option to attend those schools?
I think that they do have the option if their parents decide.
So, all right. Thank you, Mr. President. I just speak against...
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I mean, clearly, this amendment goes counter to what we're trying to accomplish with this entire bill. To put an arbitrary time frame on how long a school has to be in the district, even though they're meeting the accreditation standards, even though they are prepared to offer a quality education where the underlying public school is clearly not, and that's why we're in the situation in the first place, I think putting a 3-year timetable on it is completely arbitrary and doesn't do anything to solve the problem. So, with that, Mr. President, I urge defeat the amendment.
Senator from the 31st, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to speak against the amendment.
Proceed.
President, the senator from Clay has eloquently pointed out, I think, the flaws in this reasoning that resulted in the overwhelming no vote in committee that has already been reported. It moves us back again to the contest between public schools and public education. I believe that we're going to have to move towards public education rather than preserving public schools. It also, I think, brings into contrast the urgency of the matter versus preservation of a system that has proven year after year that it was not able to recover itself. The question is, do we really want to wait another 3 years before relief is offered to some of the students in these districts? And I don't think we do. I think that, the gentleman from Clay pointed out that if we're going to talk about track record, we do have a track record. The track record is one of failure. And we cannot abandon the students that are suffering from that track record in order to block the development of the new private schools that will come in. And I think that it's well understood that the 3-year delay will definitely mean that we won't have those private schools available. And I think that, Mr. President, is the intent of this amendment, and I would ask my colleagues to vote. Thank you.
We are on Senate Amendment 2 to substitute Amendment Number 2. Any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from the 21st, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is probably one of the defining moments of this bill, and what we're deciding on doing is spending public dollars on private institutions. And I think all of us want the best for our children across the state. We all just see different ways about that. This amendment says that if we're going to be giving money, public money, to a private non-sectarian school, that they should have a 3-year track record. And 3 years is something that we use when we're evaluating our schools, the public schools, when it comes to accreditation. And we can't shut down a school overnight. It has to be 3 years of results. And so we're asking that of our public schools. So why in the world wouldn't we do that for private schools as well? We talk about accreditation in North Central. Well, North Central is not MSEP. It's not the same standards that we evaluate our public schools on. It's based on resources and processes, not academic performance. North Central, again, does not evaluate on academic performance. So if we're going to go down this road, then why don't we just judge our schools based on North Central and not on MSIP standards? And so I think this is a very reasonable amendment that says that we don't want businesses just opening up overnight. We want a proven track record before we're going to send our scarce public dollars to private institutions. And with that, I would encourage my colleagues to vote for this amendment. Thank you.
The senator from the 21st renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 2 to substitute amendment number 2 be adopted. As many of those that are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
All those to oppose, say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. Amendment fails. We are now back on substitute amendment number 2. Any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the second, for what purpose do you want to be recognized?
Inquire of you, Mr. President.
State your inquiry.
Can you please inform me where are we in the process? Seems like we've had 47 amendments on the same stuff.
We are on the substitute amendment number 2 to Senate Amendment number 3 to Senate Bill 493 et al.
Yeah, that really didn't help me, Mr. President. So the Senator from the 14th's language was adopted on the Senator from the 23rd substitute amendment onto the Senator from 7th's original amendment. So we're going to vote on the Senator from the 23rd's
substitute
amendment now.
If there's no other...
As long as everybody stays in their chair.
If no other inquiries, yes.
Great. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other senators desire to be heard? Senator from the 23rd is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The senator from the 23rd renews his motion that Senate substitute number 3 be adopted. As many as that are in favor, say aye.
Aye.
As those opposed, say nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The substitute amendment number 2 passes. Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that this bill be placed on the informal calendar.
This bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from 32nd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate order business of announcements.
Announcements. Senator from the 30th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a reminder that the Springfield Metro Partnership breakfast will run from 7 to 8:30 in the morning. All are welcome. Capitol Plaza.
Any other announcements? Seeing none, Senator from the 32nd.
Mr. President, no further business come from the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You heard the motion from the Senator from 32nd. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries.